The most impactful leaders I've encountered were those who inspired me with their belief and energy. They recognized the unique potential, skills, and abilities of their team, creating an environment that was collaborative, supportive, and engaging. Instead of directing, they empowered others to grow, thrive, and achieve success together. So, what sets great coaches apart? How do they inspire, empower, and unlock the best in others? Hello, and welcome back to the Leadership Podcast. My name is Liliane, but you can call me Lily. And today we're diving into a topic that's at the heart of effective leadership: how to be a great coach. Whether you're managing a team, mentoring someone, or simply guiding a friend through a challenge, coaching is a skill that can elevate your leadership and create lasting impacts. First, let's talk about why coaching is so important in leadership. A great coach doesn't tell people what to do. They inspire, guide, and empower others to unlock their potential. Teams with strong coaching cultures see higher engagement, better performance, and lower turnover rates. Coaching helps people grow, and when people grow, organizations thrive. So, why should you care about being a great coach? Well, think about the best leaders in your life. Chances are they weren't just bosses, they were mentors and supporters. They brought out the best in you. That's what makes great coaching. If you want to lead effectively, becoming a skill coach is a non-negotiable. So, what makes a great coach? There are five key traits I believe you need to develop. A great coach listens more than they talk. They make the person feel heard and understood. It's about focusing on what's being said and what's not. Coaching is about understanding someone's perspective. Empathy allows you to connect and create a safe space for growth. Great coaches don't give all the answers. Instead, they ask questions that challenge assumptions, encourage reflection, and spark new ideas. A great coach doesn't let someone off the hook. They hold them accountable for their commitments while remaining supportive. And last but not least, great coaches are always learning themselves, whether it's new coaching methods, industry trends, or personal growth. Staying curious is key. So I want to give you a quick exercise. Next time you're in a conversation, focus entirely on listening. I know it's hard. Don't interrupt. Don't offer advice. Just listen and ask one or two follow-up questions. You'll be amazed at how much more open and impactful the conversation becomes. Now, let's look at the coaching process. Think of coaching as a structured yet flexible journey. And I can think of four steps that might guide you. I think the critical aspect is the trust. You're not going to build any rapport if you don't have a safe environment. People won't open up if they don't feel secure. You need to help the person clarify what they want to achieve. Be specific. A vague goal like, I want to do better at work, isn't as effective as, I want to improve my presentation skills by next quarter. So we want to be very specific, almost having SMART goals. Explore challenges. And this is important to dig deep and ask questions to uncover barriers and encourage the person to think critically about their situation. Coaching isn't just about talking, it's about doing. So your job is to help the person create an actionable plan and check in regularly to track progress. And very often, leaders fail to check in to check for progress. So that's step four is the last, but it's important. Now, I'd say most of you listening to this episode, you guys are probably working in tech, most of you, probably in sales. So let's apply this to coaching account executives. I mean, there's so many situations that you can leverage, but I would say a typical one would be improving sales techniques, because this is how you have a greater an impact on your on the revenue. So, help account executives that are struggling with closing deals, guide them through role-playing exercises to refine their pitch and objection handling skills. That's a typical one. Not too many sales managers are really doing this. Time management is important. Help them prioritize key accounts or manage their pipeline effectively by identifying tasks that yield the highest return on investment. One thing I used to tell my last team that I manage was, if it's not linked to creating pipeline, progressing pipeline, or closing pipeline, that is not a priority. So that used to be kind of my high-level guiding examples that I was using to keep them focused so that they were able themselves to assess whether something was a priority or not. So that is important, that time management. Handling objections, handling rejections, if they face consistent rejections, coach them on maintaining resilience and extracting those learning points from setbacks. So it's all around, once again, that growth mindset that we mention on this podcast very often. Building relationships. Assist them in developing strategies for nurturing client relationships, such as personalized follow-ups or understanding client pain points better. So, for salespeople, very often it's around value selling. And that is a concept that I would say junior AEs struggle with. So, value selling, understanding the positive business outcomes, that's how you sell. That's how you sell solutions. You want to have a consultative approach. Another aspect of coaching is that it's a state of mind, really. You can have all the techniques, but if you're a coach, what you want to do is help. You want to help people, you want people to grow. So I think there are critical formal moments that are powerful opportunities for coaching. And the ones I can think of are performance reviews, career discussions, and personal development plans. Now, today, the goal is not to go deep into those three formal moments, but just to touch on them. And maybe I'll spend a bit more time on the career discussions, because that is one that could be very powerful. So performance reviews, obviously, depending on your organization, they might happen once a year or twice a year. I was working in tech for scale-ups. Usually we had them twice a year. So these are really important conversations. So use these sessions during the performance reviews to go beyond just evaluating past performance. Engage the employee in a conversation about what they learned from successes and setbacks and how they can build on their strength. Career discussions, I think those ones are really powerful if you want to kind of, build the trust of your team. Especially when you're hiring someone after maybe after 3 months, some people wait for them to have passed the probation period. I think it's for me, it's a conversation I would have after 3 months, when the person is just a bit more settled. That career conversation is all around, obviously, focusing on long-term goals and aspiration. And this is really powerful because most employees have career aspirations. So they want to have those conversations. So for you as a coach, as a leader, it is the time to connect, build that trust. And this is really the time where you can set great, conversation. You can start having those great conversations. So it's really around, leveraging those open-ended questions, like where do you see yourself in 3 years? What skills would you like to develop? And it's really like, and by asking those questions, you're really getting to know your employee. So super powerful to use, I would say. I wouldn't wait more than 3 months. Anytime I hire someone, I used to have those conversations so I could see where they're going and I could have a sense of their skills. But just to touch a bit more on those career discussions, I mean, most of you would be aware of the GROW model. And it's, if you don't know, it's a widely used framework for career discussion. And it's powerful because you can really use it as almost like a coaching tool. And it's really goal, it's really great to set goals. So the GROW model stands for goal, reality, options, and way forward. So just to give you like a super high level of it, I'm going to share like the typical questions that you want to ask. But the first part is obviously around the goal. So it's all around defining the objective and desired outcome of the discussion. So during that first conversation, you might focus on short-term goals because somebody, is trying to get promoted. Or maybe you might focus on long-term aspiration because somebody is looking at a career change. At the end of the day, you need to leverage some powerful questions like, what do you want to achieve in your career? What would success look like for you? Where would you like to be in 6 months, a year, or 5 years? So This is for your goal aspects. Now, when you touch on the reality, it's all around exploring the current situation to understand the starting point. You want to know where your employee is at. And this is where you're going to be able to identify strengths, challenges, and any gaps. So, where are you now in relation to your goal? What skills, experiences, or achievements do you already have? What challenges or obstacles are you currently facing? Options. Options is when you start doing a bit of a brainstorming session where you're looking at the possible ways forward to overcome challenges and achieve the goals. And this encourages creativity and exploration. I think this is the best part where you engage even more with your team member. You know, what options do you have to move closer to your goal? Who could help you or provide support? What skills or experience do you need to develop? And so on. So this is a really interesting part, and this is where you get your employee to be even more engaged and you build that trust. And an outcome for that session around the options could be, you know, that they want to take a leadership training course. They want to find a mentor within their organization. They might think that the current team leader could be a great mentor. They want to volunteer for projects, you know, things like that. And then the way forward is when you decide on specific actions, timelines, and commitments to move forward. And here, it is all about accountability and clarity. So you're going to ask questions like, what will you do next? When will you start? What is your first step? How will you measure progress? So I just wanted to insist on the GROW model because they really help structure those career conversations, and they are a really powerful tool to enabling individual members of your team to find clarity and take actionable steps towards their goals. And I think this is a powerful tool to kind of for you to leverage. That could be your platform for great coaching within your organization. And that's the conversation every single leader needs to have with their team. Another conversation that could be powerful are obviously the personal development plans. You know, once you have that career conversation, then you're going to build a plan. And what I used to do, I used to identify 3 critical skills and then create a project for each skill, a project with clear goals, clear metrics to measure success. So these are kind of conversations, personal development plans. These are great conversations to have and to establish you as the great leader that you are. Now, even leaders with the best intentions often miss the opportunity to coach their team members. Why? Well, time pressures. In the fast-paced environment of leadership, day-to-day tasks can overshadow the importance of coaching. And that is so typical. Leaders may feel they don't have time for in-depth conversations. But remember, sometimes when you go slow, you go faster. So it's important to take the time because those conversations are powerful, really powerful. And they actually help move the needle. Because remember, your team is doing the day-to-day job. So if they are empowered and if they know where they're going and why they're going there, they're more likely to be successful. And a successful team drives great results for the organization. Assumptions about readiness. Some leaders assume that employees don't need coaching unless they explicitly ask for it. And that's a shame because those leaders are missing the chance to proactively guide and support their teams. Another thing is we tend to focus on immediate results, and we may prioritize solving problems or hitting targets over the long-term employee development. And then, because of that approach, we take on the role of a fixer instead of a coach. And that is so typical. Another thing is the lack of confidence in coaching skills. Some leaders probably need to get a formal training or a proper experience. So, because they don't have it, they kind of shy away from coaching because they're really not sure on how to do it effectively. By recognizing this barrier, leaders can shift their mindset and intentionally create space for meaningful coaching conversations. And I think it is super important to realize that as a leader, you can create synergies between all these opportunities for coaching that we just touched on, you know. So when a leader integrates feedback from performance reviews into career discussions and tie it all back to a personal development plan, it creates a cohesive growth journey. And, you know, this alignment ensures that employees sees a clear connection between their day-to-day efforts and their long-term aspirations. And that is what will increase engagement and motivation. You know, a goal without a plan is just a wish. Your job as a coach is to turn wishes into actionable steps. Even the best intentions can go wrong. Let's talk about some of the common coaching pitfalls and how to avoid them. The typical thing is to be too directive. Like a lot of, you know, we see that a lot. Coaching is not about solving problems for someone. It's about empowering them to solve their own problem. Failing to follow up, we kind of touch on that. Coaching doesn't end after one conversation. You need to have regular check-ins, and these are critical to maintaining progress. Now, we see another trend, overloading with feedback. Too much feedback at once can really be overwhelming. So make sure you focus on one or two areas for improvement at a time. Let me share a quick story. I once worked with a colleague who struggled with time management. So I kind of avoid lecturing them and I ask them questions to help them reflect on their habit. And together we identify small challenges, small changes they could make to overcome those challenges. So over time, their productivity soared, and the key was empowering them to find their own solutions. Coaching is an art, and like any skill, it takes practice. Start small, listen actively, ask thoughtful questions, And most importantly, be patient, both with yourself and with the people you're coaching. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with someone who could benefit. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us more than you think. Until next time, remember, leadership isn't about having all the answers. It's about helping others find their own. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next episode of the Leadership Podcast. My name is Lilian. You can call me Lily, and I'll talk to you soon.